the earliest days refers to how God's marvelous grace came to my family. And I go back 3 generations. The 19th century was the era of missions. England was the great source of missions to the world. But our focus is on China. Who were those who carried the message of grace and salvation to the Chinese? The earliest and most famous was Morrison. Then came Hudson Taylor, who is better known to all of us. But our interest is in a third man called William Chalmers Burns, much written of in my brother's book. He came to South China, wore a Chinese dress, the so-called Cheongsam, learned the language of the Teochews and Hokkiens, and began to preach in the native dialect. My great-grandfather and grandfather went to hear this strange man who always had a book, so that he was known as the man with a book. And after that book came a strange message the Chinese had never heard. By God's grace, the Spirit touched the hearts of great-grandfather and grandfather, so much so that they both were firmly and truly converted. Great-grandfather became the first pastor in that part of China, and grandfather followed in his steps and married his daughter. When Christianity came to the family, all the household idols, we were ancestral worshippers, as most of the Chinese were, most of our forebears were, before the gospel came in. And so I used to hear those stories of father taking those household idols and playing with them on strings, pulling them through the village streets. So much so that the neighbors said, this Tao family is bound for extinction. The way they're treating the household gods. However, God blessed. So the rest is history. Our family prospered. God was good. Thank God for rescuing us out of China. For if we had not emigrated and had remained in China, we have all heard of the Cultural Revolution and how the whole revolution turned the history of China backwards. The nationalist government for which my father worked, being associated with the infamous or famous name of Chiang Kai-shek and Sun Yat-sen, that government was corrupt and collapsed under the onslaught of the communists. However, in the meantime, I would say God led the family to emigrate to Nanyang, that is the South Seas. This kind of story maybe is repeated by many of the families here. But we all came from South China, most of us. But thank God we came down to Malaya. In those days, it was not called Malaysia. It is only after the British left that Malaysia was formed. So that brought us to the 20th century. 19th century was a century of missions. 20th century was a great turnaround. Our parents came down to Senai, which is the airport town of Johor Bahru. And there, father had a rubber estate. Most of you who have read the story in my footprints book would have read how our sole livelihood depended on rubber until the year 1929. Due to the manipulations in Wall Street, the whole world market collapsed. And father said, how could we continue when the price was reduced from $100 per pickle down to $10? I couldn't even have money to pay the laborers, let alone smoke my cigarettes. So it was a time of desperate straits of total dependence on charity. In the year 1935, a person came into our life. We were in a place called Kluang. And this person who was in Kluang with us eventually became the translator for Dr. John Soon. John Soon was God's man raised for the 20th century. And one day came this Miss Wu. There's a name to most of you because she's passed away also. And she happened to come to Kluang. And we were in Kluang. In the church, there was this lady preacher from South China. And she told father and mother, you must hear Dr. John Soon. God has raised this man for China. From north to south, wherever he preaches, hundreds and thousands of Chinese were converted and revived. In this, we were going back, I'm telling you the story, back to the beginning. How God's grace came to our whole family. Father, here, listen to Miss Wu. And Miss Wu was at that time a very close friend of mother's. And so she convinced us when Dr. Johnson will come in August 1935, you must go. I say, dear friends, God has a plan for those he loves. And so when August 1935 came, father, who had a clinic practice in medicine, shut the clinic and the whole family came down to Singapore. Dr. John Soon began a revival in our family. The first night that Dr. John Soon preached, father gave up his cigarette smoking, which had been going on for at least 20 years. In one night of preaching, he repented. And I can recall even now the picture of his standing up with many others in front of the pulpit before the gathered 1,000 people to confess his sins and to repent and to turn over a new leaf. Coming home that night, he took out all his smoking paraphernalia. Dear friends, this is not an easy thing to do, for he had tried time and again to give up that evil habit. But one preaching, the Word of God, and the Spirit convicted him. That was the end of his smoking. I say Dr. John Sung sowed the seeds of our BP movement today. The BP movement began in 1950. Elder brother, eldest brother, had returned from America after his studies at Faith Theological Seminary. And he had been convinced, being fully possessed by the Word of God, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ was given to us by the Reformation Fathers. Christianity did not begin in 1935 with us, but it began in the 16th century when it was revived out of the book, the King James Bible. So when Timothy, that is my brother, returned from America, our church in Prinsep Street was the Teochew-speaking Chinese church. And because the children could not understand the Teochew preaching, they requested my brother, will you start an English service so that our young people may not all leave the church? So much so that they took this very important step in order that the children may remain in the faith and not be lost to the world. October 20th, 1950 is the very earliest day of the beginning of the Bible Presbyterian Church. How long ago? 62 years ago. I well remember that afternoon. You say, why afternoon? Mother Church used the church in the morning. And they say, you, daughter church, would you like to use the afternoon? There's no choice. So we started at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That service on the 20th of October brings us back to the earliest day in 1950. As I said, the seed for this church was sown when Dr. John Sung came. When he came, he preached the pure gospel out of the Book of Life. For by that time, the Western church had been greatly corrupted by liberalism and modernism. When brother was in America, he caught the vision. One day, Dr. McIntyre came to the seminary called Faith Seminary. And he challenged the people. There is a need for a 20th century Reformation all over again, because what Martin Luther and his reformers had preached and taught in the 16th century has been corrupted over the years until the church became corrupt preaching another gospel. Dr. Sung was in the Union Seminary. You may read this story from the book called John Sung, My Teacher by Timothy To. How that he taught the principle of this Union Theological Seminary in New York. All the miracles were debunked. There's nothing but fairy tales. I well remember Dr. Sun preaching. He says, here was a new theology. Devil heads with devil minds preaching devil doctrines. This was exactly what Dr. John Sung experienced. Now you say, why are you telling us about all these things? I'm telling you because the church today, very few churches are preaching the true gospel today. By the end of last century, majority of churches had defected to the new theology. What is the new theology? Oh, when you are filled and satisfied with life and if three meals provided, you are in heaven. When you are miserable and in bad circumstances, well, that is hell. And so on and so forth, the miracles of Jesus were all debunked. Oh, Jesus walking in the water. Oh, he knew there were hidden steps. And so he walked on the steps, not the water. Jesus fed the 5,000. Truly? Not really. But because the little boy brought out his lunch hamper and shared with those around him, all the rest of them opened their own lunch hampers and shared around. Oh, what a wonderful gesture of generosity. And so everybody is well fed, and then they say, let's take the remnants, collected 12 basketfuls. So that is how the whole miracles of Jesus were explained away. Whatever cannot be reasoned is explained away. So the whole Bible is taken to pieces. 1950 is back to the earliest days of the Bible Presbyterian Church. We started in the afternoon. Thank God, Timothy was a soul winner after the pattern of Dr. John Sung. We went out visiting. I joined him, and we had family worship in homes, and rapidly the whole movement began to grow. So much so that the BP Church in Singapore in the 50s and 60s was known and famous as the fastest growing church, not because of any social action, but simply because this hunger and thirst for the truth of God came to the people and churches were founded. And the church movement of the Bible Presbyterian Church spread around Singapore. Do you know how many BP churches there are now in Singapore? Internet will tell us 42. Amazing. We are one of them. Back to the earliest days. What's the meaning of all this, dear friends? We are going into a very critical period of history. History teaches us precious lessons which cannot be learned otherwise. Things will not go on and on and on as some people think. There was a beginning, God created. There is an end coming, and we are here because of the urgency of the end times. The Lord is coming. So here we are, talking of the end times. Please turn now to the Word of God. For God, Creator, also is the final authority and the concluder of history. And the first passage I'd like to share with you is 1 Thessalonians. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 5, written by Paul the Apostle to the church in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 5. Here the Apostle Paul speaks to us through that letter of the times and the seasons, brethren. You have no need that I write to you. For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. Verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day shall overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night, nor of darkness. Amen. Thank God for this Bible conference and family camp. Thank God for your attendance here. I pray that this message will touch your hearts and open your minds, prepare you for that inevitable last day of planet Earth coming. You say, how can it be? All things go on as they have been from the beginning of the creation. Dear friends, listen to the words of the Creator Himself. He who made planet Earth also made man, besides other things. And to man He committed the oversight of the rest of creation. Man is to do His bidding. However, there was a day of judgment past. The day of judgment was in the day of Noah. As in the days of Noah, when men rebelled against the law of God, and as men became so lawless, that when God looked down, He found that the whole of society was plunged into great sin and corruption, so that every thought of the imaginations of the thoughts of men was only evil continually. Genesis chapter 6. Now, dear friends, how does that relate to what I'm talking about? We talk of earliest days with a view to anticipating the last days. We are living in the last of the last days. How do you know? You ask me, how do you know? I say, how do I know? The Creator who once punished and judged the world for his wickedness and sins shall do again the same judgment on earth. So the passage we've just read refers to the coming of the end time judgment. Do you believe it, dear friends? A second passage is in 2 Thessalonians, just a few more pages down your Bible, about two pages only. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. It says here, let no man deceive you. And I say, dearly beloved, take heed of this. For some of you who have never heard of the Lord Jesus returning, it may be strange and new to you. However, what we are reading is what God has intended for us to know. For God does not leave us in darkness. Verse 3 again. The word of God says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come. What day? What day are we talking about? The day of the Lord's return. Do you know that the church today has largely forsaken the doctrine of the return of Jesus Christ? Please understand, the Lord Jesus rose from the dead to accomplish God's purpose of salvation. Third day after his crucifixion, and the evidence and the signs of his resurrection are amply documented in Scripture. 40 days later, he ascended to heaven with the promise, I will come again. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again to receive you unto myself. There is a purpose. Please understand also, this earth is not forever for us. We have had entrance into planet Earth. We also have an exit. All of us understand this. The problem is, when we stay on earth, grow up, as children grow into young adults, adulthood, family life, and then we think, we feel so confident. This earth is ours for us to exploit and to enjoy, forgetting that we are but travelers, very temporary. I always object to the term PR. So many people are happy when they get PR. Whether in Australia or America, we go there. Or some other people come to Singapore and get PR. They say, so good. Now I'm PR. I said, dear friends, no one is PR on planet Earth. All of us are TR. Don't forget this, please. We're all very temporary. Verse 3 says, let no man deceive you by any means. That you are PR here. No, you are not. All right, I ask you the question. Where do you go after this? Where? Dear friends, there is a day of birth coming onto planet Earth. There is a day of departure by death. But you know, there is a wonderful day coming, and it is very possible in the lifetime of some of you. I do not know when, but I know that all the signs point to Jesus will return, possibly, as the signs indicate, in our lifetime. Talking of the beginning, we review history, and history teaches us lessons that are most pertinent, applicable. History tells us the downfall of the Christian gospel entrusted to the church because the church has fallen away. Do you know that by the 20th century, almost all of Christendom have defected from the true gospel? Do you know that? Many churches today just preach a social gospel. You go to the church, they teach you how to be good, kind, neighborly, and to do good works. That's about all. But do you know that by the end of last century, almost all the churches have pledged loyalty and returned to Rome? Do you know this? All the evangelical churches led by none other than Billy Graham. Billy Graham was a great evangelist in the 40s and 50s. By the 50s, he began to turn. And when I began to warn the people, many in our churches says, "Hey, are you not interested in evangelism? The great evangelist is coming. There'll be great rallies. 40,000 people will come and hear him, and the gospel will spread." Dear friends, herein is the deception. By last century, all the evangelical churches had pledged to return to Rome. The Anglican archbishops have all signed and welcomed the popes to England. All the charismatic churches are pledged to return to Rome, to join up with Rome. Now you ask me one question. What is wrong with Rome? They are also Christians, aren't they? I give you a moment, you ponder and think. Are they also Christians? So what's wrong to go back to Mother Church? This is the present doctrine and thinking among Christians. Do you know that in the last 30 or 40 years, the Roman Catholic Church no longer refers to itself as Catholics? Do you know this? You ask a Roman Catholic, "What are you?" "Christian." In my practice in the clinic, whenever we have patients who are Roman Catholics, you ask, "What's your religion?" Because we register them with their religious persuasion. Routinely, all of them, they have been instructed by the church, put down Christian. My maid brought in her own nephew, and I was happy to see a visitor in the house. I said, "What are you?" "Christian." So you see, it is now universal everywhere. Christianity is now Roman Catholic Church. You see, you ask me, what's wrong with Roman Catholics? Now let me give you what's wrong. Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. If there are any who are of the Roman Catholic faith, please be instructed by God's word. Revelation 17 gives us the truth about this church. Verse 1 says, "And there came one of the seven angels, and he said to me, 'Come, I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore. Today it is riding high and mighty.'" 3 years ago, in 2009, G8 met in Rome. And there, the Pope represented the Roman Catholic Church. Please understand, the Roman Catholic Church is different from all churches. It is a political and sovereign state, same as Singapore and Malaysia. In 1929, Mussolini, the dictator, granted to the Pope a nation's and political status to the Roman Church, so that today it has diplomatic exchange with about 200 churches, 200 countries. Do you know this? It's a church with a political agenda, so that it operates as a church, but it has got immense political clout and political power. We talk of the earliest days, how the church began. 16th century, God sent a man, and with him a whole movement to arise and say, "Look, this church is a false church." And for that, thousands of Christians were massacred, burnt, killed. Read on in Revelation 17. Verse 1, the second part of it. "Come hither, I will show you unto thee the judgment of the great whore." Now, let me explain what whore means. Do you know the meaning of whore? A prostitute. One who sells her body for money is called a whore. The great whore here is used to define and to describe the false church, as contrasted with the true church. What is the true church called? Bride of Christ. That's why we say when we go to heaven, we'll be welcomed by the bride, by the bridegroom. The bridegroom will welcome the bride. So the true church is the bride. Verse 2. "With this whore, the kings of the earth have committed fornication." Fornication here is a general term referring to false religious alliance. The kings of the earth means all the leaders of the nations. Last year, Prime Minister of Malaysia, Prime Minister Mr. Najib, went to Rome to become the 179th country that has diplomatic exchange, so that it has got certain standing with the Roman Catholic Church, which is, as I told you, political and has power with all the nations. Right. Read again. With whom the leaders of the countries called kings of the earth have committed fornication, that is, false religious alliance with this false church, and are drunk with the wine of a fornication. This kind of allegiance to the Church of Rome is very difficult to get a person free from it, because it is like wine. You know how difficult it is to detoxicate. Alcoholic is one of the most difficult things to do in medical science. So here it is. It is like wine. When you get into that system of idolatry, of incense burning, of confessing to the priest, of buying indulgences, you ask me, what is an indulgence? It's like a COE certificate. It is a certificate to allow you to sin. For past sins, you pay your money, you buy the certificate, and you are certified you are all right. For future sins, you can buy ahead of time. COE. The idea and the operating of this system is identical. Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now you ask me, what is this great power which has got seven heads and ten horns? Ten horns you can find repeated to identify for you the country. The country is Rome. Where do you find it? Daniel 7:24. Yes, you don't need to turn there. If you just make a mental note, Daniel saw the four empires of history: Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, finally Rome. Now we are living in the Roman era. When did the Roman era begin? With the Caesars, about 200 BC, it rose up, and it's continued till when? Till now. We are in the Roman era. You say, how come? Today, the world power is held in the hands of which country? Can you tell me? Which country of European Roman extraction? Answer is United States of America. This is history, please understand. America did not spring out of the ground in America, but they came from Europe. And who did the founding? The Pilgrim Fathers and others were part of the Roman Empire who came out. Ten horns, right? Now this ten horns is talks of the Roman Empire, which has two factions. One is political, one is religious. Now read on, we're talking of the religious faction, or the arm of the Roman Empire. Verse 4. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness of her false religion. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw this woman drunken with the blood of the saints. So what does this refer to? Please recall the time of the Reformation. Following the Reformation was the Inquisition. Do you know what is the Inquisition? It's a movement to subdue and to destroy the Reformation. And in the process, unknown millions of believers were massacred throughout Europe. In every country, there's a history of millions of Christians who would rather suffer death than deny the Lord and their faith. So here is a picture of the end time. And this woman will dominate the world scene. I said to you just now, 3 years ago, when G8 met in Rome, the Pope met with Obama, and he holds the power. And what did the Pope say to him? Mr. Obama, we need a political body that has teeth. In other words, the present UN, United Nations, is not giving us the kind of peace that we look for or the power to enforce. No, the United Nations is the most disunited body in the world. All they do is to hold meetings, pass resolutions by voting, and then the whole thing dies at the vote. That's all. The Pope is very unhappy with this situation. Look, you, America, is number one political and military power in the world. We are number one religious body. Between us, we can put law and order on planet Earth. Dearly beloved, I will conclude with this message. Going to the earliest days is to remind us the earliest of all events was the creation, and the Creator has an agenda, a timetable. We are living in the last of the last days. All the signs tell us the Creator, Jesus Christ, will return shortly. When will He return? May I venture that you all and I and you must be ready for this great event. All the signs of the soon return of Jesus Christ, you must not miss. Going back to the beginning is also to point us to the future. I have given you here four signs. Number one, the falling away of Christendom. Who said so? Paul the Apostle. Where did he say so? 2 Thessalonians, I read to you once again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you. Are you there? 2 Thessalonians 2:3, if not, listen. Paul the Apostle says, look, don't let anyone deceive you. For that day of the Lord's return shall not come until there come a falling away and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now this is a sign back to the beginning in order to tell you what's coming ahead. The Apostle Paul says, dearly beloved, we are living in the last of the last days. Coming to this Bible conference for 6 days, we'll not have the necessary benefit and blessing to all of us if we omit this most important doctrine. What had a beginning will have an ending. The Lord who created is coming to judge. Are you ready? The first sign I've given you is the falling away. Do you see it? Yes. We have seen all the signs of the falling away in the 20th century. I tell you again, all the evangelicals have pledged to return to Rome, led by people like Billy Graham, John Stott, and others. They all want to go back to Rome. And when they say so, their constituents will follow them. Number two, who else have pledged loyalty back to Rome? Anglican Church. Charismatics. We will go back to Rome because that is our mother church. Not knowing that this is a false church. It is a very powerful political church, not the church of Jesus Christ. Second sign of the Lord's return. The days of Noah will be back on earth. As there was a first judgment by water, a second judgment is coming on earth by fire. Are you ready? How can I be ready? Can I escape it? This is the doctrine of Jesus' return. You must be ready. And only the gospel of Jesus Christ can save you out of that end time judgment of God. Number three, you've seen the rise of the two world powers. This is the sign all described in Revelation chapter 13. Read it. And the two beasts, for beasts read great world leaders, the two of them, Pope and Obama. May not be Obama after the next election, but the United States of America and the Roman Catholic Church together. They will lead the world. This is the third sign. And the fourth sign is signs in nature. Do you know that in the first 4 months of this year, there were 28 earthquakes, seven a month. All right. You say, well, so what? Jesus has not come. Please understand, the Lord's word is absolutely inerrant and trustworthy. Yes. It is a sign to arouse us to be ready. Are you ready? We close with the words of Peter. You know that God saved Peter. Jesus says, Peter, you're going to be taken to pieces by Satan tonight, the night when I will be betrayed. You're going to deny me. What did Peter say? Lord, you underestimate me. I will never deny you. Even to prison and to death, I will go with you. Jesus says, Peter, you say so? Tonight, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And he did. But Jesus said also to Peter, I have prayed for you, and you will recover, because God has a plan for this man. Now we want to read what Peter has for us. 2 Peter chapter 3, in closing. What this man who denied Jesus three times on the night of his betrayal and went to sleep while Jesus was praying and asked him, will you watch with me? Will you pray with me? And he went to sleep. But he says to us now, in 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 to 14. I will read for your blessing. Verse 9 to verse 14. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but he is long-suffering, patient to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. No thief sends you an advance warning to say, I'm coming tonight. So Jesus does not give you an advance warning in a specific term of when and where. But his word is infallible. In at that time, the heavens shall be on fire with the and destroyed and pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be, dearly beloved, all meeting in this Bible camp? What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, in holy living, whether seen or unseen? Let us all magnify the name of the Lord. Why? Verse 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, that day will surely come. As there was a day of creation, there was also a day of great global flood and destruction. There will be a day of judgment and by fire when the Lord returns. At that time, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have traced how thou didst send us the gospel of salvation through the Reformation Fathers, through the 20th century Reformation, through the Bible Presbyterian Church movement, and tonight through thy word, which warns us and informs us lovingly. We are to be ready for the day when the Son of Man shall return. Bless your people with good rest tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.